This morning I want to go ahead and do as much teaching as I possibly can on fasting. And this is something that I'm praying and fasting that it'll resonate in your life and in your spirit, because fasting is part of my life. It's an everyday part of my life. I fast every week, several days every week. People always ask me why I don't eat. It's not because I don't like food. I love food. Food and I are friends. But fasting is a better friend than food. So I'm going to hang around with my better friend, okay? So basically, and I realize the concept and the revelation of fasting and how fasting and prayer breaks demonic spirits and really gives you power over the enemy. And prayers are answered. It's a wonderful part of my life that I want to share with you, that's a biblical part. And also, you know, I pray and fast for this church regularly, and pray and fast for you and your family regularly, and for ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ regularly, that God would bless their life, bless their churches, and bless your life, bless your family, and bless your dreams. And I really believe that when you realize those things, you know, it's good to know that that goes on, and you know, to know that there are people that care enough to pray and to fast and to bring that before the Lord, and your needs and wishes and dreams before the Lord. That's really a powerful, powerful knowledge and revelation to have. And the enemy of our soul does not like that, because he knows the power of prayer and fasting when it's combined. And a lot of Christians don't fast. And a lot of Christians don't pray either. So, you know, I don't make light of that, but it's a reality. And prayer is something that you should do every day. When you wake up, you should be, you know, pray. You should seek the Lord, you know, and just offer the day up to him. It doesn't have to be, you know, an hour's worth of prayer, which is a good thing to do, but, you know, just getting up every morning and just greeting God and, you know, thanking him for a day and blessing him, and, you know, maybe reading Psalm 103, the first five verses of Psalm 103, or Psalm 1, or Psalm 91, or Psalm 121, or Psalm 46, you know, just go ahead and read these psalms and allow these psalms to resonate in your spirit and read them out loud as a prayer to God. Amen. And then, you know, choose a day every week to, you know, to cycle through fasting, to allow, to have that going on in your life, a day every week of the week that you're dwelling in, to have that opportunity to fast before the Lord. You know, giving up something that you readily would love to have. Fasting is a sacrifice. It really is. And something that we need to do. So as we move on now with this, I want you to know that this disclaimer is something that has to be spoken, because, you know, it's so important. A lot of people will just jump into fasting and they'll get sick, and then, you know, they weren't made aware that they need to go ahead and consult a physician before you begin your fast, especially if you're in a diabetic, or if there's something that's going on in your body where food is a necessary part of your life every day that you need to have. Your doctor can provide advice on how you can participate in a fast. So as you can read the disclaimer up there, it's just basically giving you that information. And as we move forward into challenge to fast, the Bible is very clear that to seek the Lord in prayer and let your decisions about your fast come from him. You know, ask the Lord to show you areas to target during your time of fasting and prayer. And personally, during this next 21 days, it would be good for you to find a target area. You know, in your family, in your workforce, in your relationships, in your church, in your desires of what you want to become, where you're focused on, those kind of areas. What's burdening you so greatly, you know, fast and pray about that. You know, and remember, always remember that the Bible literally gives us an opportunity by God sharing his word that we can cast all our cares upon the Lord, for he cares for us. In 1 Peter in chapter 5, verses 7 through 9 is a great scripture to memorize. But it also tells us that what Jesus says, that if we are heavy laden and weary, that we could come before him and we will find that he will give us rest, and his burden is light, his yoke is easy. And we find that with the Lord. So if we become that in our life, fasting is really a great way to get close to God and to bring the flesh into submission. You know, the flesh is what gets you in trouble. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, and the flesh, it'll just kind of motivate you to do things you shouldn't do and act the way you shouldn't act. But fasting keeps you balanced and helps you understand those things that are important for your life. The prayer of the faithful will bring about the response of God that was expected and is expected in your life. Hope in a dark hour will bring the light of the gospel to your path. These statements are truly enriching and encouraging to anyone that has fasted, lived by faith, and has hope for victory against overwhelming odds. And it really is true. In a dark time of our life, when that light shines through, it's really a good feeling. It's a good sense of accomplishment, and it's very comforting that you know that God has heard your prayer. You know, the enemy will try to fight you. He'll try to keep you from receiving what God has promised you. He will fight you, you know. And I often say, when people say, well, I've never felt a fight from the enemy, I always say that you're probably in the wrong battlefield. You know, the Bible says, press on. You know, in the Greek, and the word press on in the book of Philippians in chapter 3, when it talks about pressing on, that word means it is a force, a press, a pushing, that you have to push up against the powers of darkness, you know, because our weapons of warfare are not carnal but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. There is a warfare that goes on. We read that in the book of Daniel when he prayed. 21 days it took the angel to come back with the answer, because he had to fight against powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places to bring this answer back to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. So we find these things that go on, and see that fasting defined is refraining from eating food. And we want to be able to see that. Fasting is the laying aside of food for the period of time when the believer is seeking to know God in a deeper experience. It is to be done as an act before God in the privacy of one's own pursuit of God. There is a time where you need to get before the Lord. I could ask you today, and you don't have to answer. It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to raise your hand. But I would ask you, you know, is there something in your life you want to see done? Is there something that's fighting against you? Is there a goal that you're reaching for? Is there a hope that you have that God will bring to pass very soon? Amen. You know, and all those answers for me is yes, yes, and yes. Most definitely, you know, and I want to be able to maintain that kind of a relationship with God, you know, in everything that we do. And we see in these scriptures, in these references, in Exodus 34 and 28, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And you can see that a 40-day fast was going on there with Moses, and it was a miraculous fast because he went 40 days without bread nor water. Jesus' fast 40 days was just without bread, without food. A miracle that happened here, because our body needs water after 3 days. You know, there's an absolute fast that I'll refer to just in a little while, that I've been on several absolute fasts, but by the third day, entering into the third day of an absolute fast, your back starts to hurt. You say, well, Pastor, my back hurts all the time anyhow. Well, it'll hurt more, okay? Your knees, your joints, everything begins to become very sore because there's no fluid, no water that is moisturizing your joints. And because of that, water is a very necessary part of our makeup, as you know, and we need water. So oftentimes in an absolute fast, you go absolutely without food and absolutely without water, everything. And it's you, your body really begins to show the need for water after the 48th hour, moving into that third day. You start to have that, and especially if you're if you drink coffee that is caffeinated, you'll know by the third day that caffeine definitely has a control over your body, because you'll get a terrible headache, and then you're stuck with the headache because you're fasting. You see, and you have to understand that these things go on in your life. So with this particular fast, it was 40 days without food nor water before the Lord. And in the second verse there in 1 Samuel 7:6, so they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, there's a fast called because of sin. They wanted to get a hold of God. They wanted to put their flesh in submission. It was time for them to say, God, we repent. I tell you, it's a good thing to repent before the Lord. If you've fallen into sin, if you're doing something. You know, the beauty of the Lord in your relationship, and the beauty of the Lord with my relationship, the beauty of the Lord in our relationship, is that, you know, you may be able to fool me. You may be able to fool a friend, but you don't fool God. God knows what is being done in darkness. And he said that the things that are done in darkness will be revealed in the light. So this fasting before the Lord, and you bring Israel before the Lord, and literally Samuel judging them and making sure that everything was right, they showed God, they poured the water out before the Lord. They fasted that day to repent before God. So fasting can be used in a repentive state of mind, to where you'll be able to come before God, showing God, you know, God, my flesh is getting me in trouble. I am putting it into submission. You know, because your flesh loves to eat. Loves food. It says, I'm hungry. Some people, when they get up in the morning, that's the first thing they do. When they go right away to the cereal cupboard, refrigerator. So literally, they just eat. That's the first thing. And it's just an amazing thing. We have a little puppy now, a brand new puppy called Finnegan. And at 5:30 every morning, that puppy wakes up my wife for one purpose: to eat. That dog is relentless to getting to that food and just eating. And instead of just like eating it and enjoying it, it is like, it's gone, you know. And you wonder if did the taste buds get any of that. But the bottom line is, what I'm saying is that that dog's flesh is saying it's time to eat. Well, as human beings, we get the same way towards food. We feel like if we don't eat, we're going to die. If we don't have something in our stomach, we're going to die. And sometimes we eat way too much and we feel like we're going to die, you know. And we also do that at Thanksgiving and Christmas, where we feel like it's okay to eat, you know, 5 plates that day. And we sit in a chair in pain, and then we get all these heartburn medications and medicines, and we're just chewing on those and swallowing those. And then we're up all night with stomach pain. We're going, oh man, I'll never do this again. And next Thanksgiving, we do it again. I'm just saying all this to tell you that the flesh has a lot of power in our life. And it causes us. And I used to laugh with people about the idea. They'd say, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And they'd come in. And I'd say, well, I'm glad you all are here to pray. And they say, well, we're just going to sit around. We just got through eating. It's really hard to pray after you eat. You know, you sit in the chair to eat, and the first thing you know, you're counting the back of your eyelids, how many spots you can see because your eyes are closed. And the next thing you know, you're snoring in the spirit. And you wake up, you know, and you're like going, okay, because food has this reaction to our body, and it makes us to rest sometimes. And then in 1 Kings 19:8 says, so he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of the food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And again, we see here the prophet moving forward, and he ate, but now he's moving forward now on the strength to go 40 days and 40 nights. So it's an amazing thing to realize. Now, I'll share with you what 40 means in just a little while. But then in Matthew 6 and 17, but you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. And what Jesus was saying there is that because of this, some people, when they fast, they want to let everybody know. They put ashes, you know, this is a terminology that in the Old Testament and New Testament, that they would put ashes on their face and dress in sackcloth and sit down and everybody know they're fasting. In today's modern day, you walk up to somebody and say, how are you doing? Fasting. I'm fasting. Does everybody know that I'm fasting? And that's not humility. That's like, look at me. Look how good I'm doing. I'm fasting. Yay. And that's not how it's supposed to be. You shouldn't really tell a bunch of people you're fasting. You shouldn't walk up and say, you know, I'm fasting. Paul even talks about, he refers about this, that when, if someone offers you something to eat, it would be better that you ate that than offend your brother. And so it's important that we always remember that we don't want to make fasting this prideful lifestyle. Look at me, I fast. Well, you just lost God somewhere in that sentence, okay? It's just if you're fasting, enjoy your fast. Let God help you. Let that flesh be in submission. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. And just realize how important it is that you have that kind of relationship with God. Now, fasting is to be done with the object of seeking to know God in a deeper experience. Isaiah 58 and 1. And Zechariah 7 and 5, it says here, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, Isaiah 58 talks about the type of fast, and we're not going to cover that today, but, you know, is this a fast that I honor? And God was talking about staying away from food. But he wasn't doing that because it got to be, in Isaiah 58, it got to be more of a pride thing. And he said that the fast that I honor is when you help the poor, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, bring people into your home. You know, he said, then the sun will rise on you when you do that type of a fast. He was trying to get Israel back in the relationship that they needed to be instead of being self-centered and thinking just because skipping a meal they were doing good. Look at us. We're not eating. Again, pride will cause you to not receive what God has for you. It gets in the way. And in Zechariah 7 and 5, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month during those 70 years, did you really fast to me, for me? Wow, what a question. How'd you like to be in prayer and have God ask you that after a day's of fast? Are you really fasting for me? Are you really fasting for me? Deeply? Are you really seeking me? Are you really needing an answer from me? Or are you just fasting because you want to be known as a spiritual person? You want to have something selfish for your life? Getting God's will is a good thing. And having God's will in your life and living by God's will every day of your life is really beautiful. Do you know when you got saved, God did not take your will? It's your choice every day to serve God. It's your choice to go to church on Sunday. It is your choice to pray. It's your choice to fast. It's your choice to receive me as your pastor. It's your choice to sing in worship. It's your choice to be in a relationship with a person. You see, it's our will that chooses. And God wants us to surrender our will to His will, what He wants, which takes that word, sacrifice. And sacrifice is what a lot of people today in society and the Christian faith don't want to do, because we have been edged over, urged, nudged over slowly but surely to think everything has got to be in prosperity. Everything has got to have the best. Everything has got to be perfect. Everything is great. God wants us to have nice things. God wants us to be blessed. But there's this sacrifice has got to be involved with this. There's got to be a sacrifice. Read the Word. Read the New Testament. If you so deem necessary in your life to understand what I'm saying, you should have already read the New Testament several times. But if you have not, read it through and understand that where you see Jesus walking and all his disciples walking, there was an intense sacrifice unto God daily. The Bible declares in the book of St. Luke that you need to take up your cross daily and follow him. If you cannot do that, you cannot be his disciple. Taking up your cross, in other words, dying to self every day, what self wants. Amen. You know, you can say the old joke, you know, the pastor got up in the morning, didn't want to go to church. You know, and his wife said, but you're the pastor. I know, but I still don't want to go to church, because his flesh was saying, I'm tired, I don't want to, but it was a sacrifice that day because he's made of flesh and blood, or she's made of flesh and blood, just like everybody else, and just wanting to kind of call in sick that day. But there's a sacrifice that has to be. Amen. Walking with God is really important. But what he says that we need to still sacrifice to serve him. There is a servant's heart that we need to have, and praise God. Fasting is important today. Today we live in the most dramatic time with insecurity and fear gripping the hearts of many. The new believer and the seasoned saint are looking around and witnessing people become timid and passe about the things of God. Have you seen that? I have. Some people want to go to church maybe twice a month. Well, thank you. You're going to bless God twice a month. But then they want everything they can from God 7 days a week. There's this passe feeling that, or there's no fear of God anymore. They just live any kind of lifestyle they want and do anything they want to do, and they go to church and act like they want to be there, but they really don't want to be there. I tell you, I don't mean this bad, and I'm glad people that were raised in church and were weaned down the pews and never did anything wrong. But I'm telling you, some folks need to get the fear of God. I fear God. I know what I was saved out of. I know the lifestyle that God reached into darkness and pulled me out. I know what hell can be like. And I want to worship him. I want to be there for him. And I don't want to fool around. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do something against God like I'm getting away with something. I tell you, I really reverence God. And I really fear him with a reverential fear, that because I love him so much that I want to be in the house of God. I don't even want to miss church. I'd be in church every day if I could get away with it. You know, we in the old days, we were in church quite often. We'd have more services throughout a week. We'd be trying to make sure there's an eighth day somewhere. But today, people are like, I'm just going to go to church. Maybe twice a month, or I'll give you so many days a month at church. And staff members are telling their pastors that they'll give them a few Sundays a month, but not the rest of the Sundays. And I'm, you know, and the pastor's going, how do I deal with this? I say, you don't deal with it. You find a staff member that wants to be there every Sunday to help build the church. Someone say amen to me today, will you? Reading through the Word, there are so many testimonies of the people of God moving into impossible situations and God coming to deliver them. It's not because they were expecting to have a bad day or chose to be unable to conquer the odds against them. It's simply that they knew a God, the one true God, who would come to the aid of his children. Jesus, like any father, would do. Jesus will always come to your aid. Fasting helps that. Fasting, you know, gets you to a place to where you are not afraid to seek a holy God. Man, I'm telling you, I'm crying out to God every day. I'm praying, I'm crying out, help. I'm praying, God, I want growth. I'm praying, I want to see souls saved. I want to see people in the Spirit of God. I want to see singing in the Spirit in the church again. I want to see people just worshiping God. And I want to see the truth be told that God is God forevermore. Amen. And I want that. I'm crying out for people to smile in church again. My Lord, I tell you, sometimes I'm in church and I'm wondering, hello? Did we sing a song today, oh, happy day, or did we sing, oh, bummer day? Oh,
sad day. Oh, day of despair. Oh, day of just bleh. No, oh, happy day. Praise God. Jesus saved us. And then he gives us opportunity to be in communion with him. Luke 11, 11 through 13. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think people need a rebaptism, a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. A refilling. I ask God all the time, refill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to be so full into the overflow of God's Spirit. Praise God. Amen. And I want to, you get a listening ear when you fast. You know, there are times when I reach to go to eat and the Holy Spirit says, no, I got to put the bread back in the bag. I got to put the peanut butter lid back on the peanut butter. I got to put the knife back in the drawer and I got to walk away. But I don't walk away shaking my head. Oh, man. I walk away thinking, okay, praise God. I'll get to eat some other time. But right now, I'm going to live by the will of God, the word of God. I'm going to go ahead and let God speak to my spirit. The process of gaining the response of God does take fasting, faith, and hope. Keeping in tune with the Spirit is a true favor of heart that will also keep the believer consistent in serving the Lord. What is fasting related to? Fasting relates to a time of confession. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that I became my reproach. Psalm 69 and 10. Fasting can be a time of seeking a deeper prayer experience and drawing near to God in prevailing prayer. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. Ezra 8, 23. Now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Joel 2 and 12. The early church often fasted in seeking God's will for leadership in the local church. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. When the early church wanted to know the mind of God, there was a time of prayer and fasting. Same thing for us today. When we want to know the mind of God, there should be a time of prayer and fasting. We want to know the mind of God for 2013. We want to know what God is speaking to the hearts of everybody in this church. What is God speaking to the leadership? What is God speaking to the pastor? What is God speaking to our hearts for 2013? Where are we headed? God doesn't want us to get in the vehicle called faith, and all of a sudden we don't even know where we're going. You see, any road will get you there if you don't know where you're going. God wants us to know exactly where we're heading and what we're doing. And so it takes prayer and fasting to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. Fasting, further explained, fasting is a principle that God intended for everyone to be able to enjoy. It's not a punishment, it's a privilege. By making fasting a way of life, you can get closer to God and grow in your spiritual walk like never before. Fasting is one of the most powerful weapons God has given us for our daily lives, and that is the truth. It gives you power over the darkness. Praise God. Through fasting, you can experience a release from the bondage of sin, restoration in your relationships, financial blessings, spiritual renewal, supernatural healing, and so much more. I want you to know that it is very important that you understand, I have known people that have been healed during their fast. I've known people that got healthy because they began to fast. Their diet changed and they got healthy. You know, if you're healthy, you're feeling pretty good. If you're not healthy, you're feeling pretty bad. Amen? Importance of fasting. The enemy of the works of God is constantly stirring up strife and division to confuse even the most godly people.
The only way to defeat him is through the power of the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb will always defeat him at every battle and trickery he tries to use against us. Our weapons of warfare are not carnal but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. And it says that in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. We have in our life the importance of faith. Everything that we have in our life, what we just said, and he never wavers and tries to sow lies and lust and tries to keep you away from being focused on the one true God of your salvation, Jesus Christ. Never waver from the truth that is found in the Word. The enemy has been defeated and the victory belongs to us. Amen. The victory is ours. Look at your neighbor and say, I've got victory today. You really do. And you know, victory is something that is really something that you can hold on to and make it yours. The enemy has been defeated and the victory belongs to and is ours. He may look like he is winning a battle or so, but that is not the war, believe me. Some of his treacherous remarks and darts can only be defeated by prayer and fasting. You know, somebody's once said to me, choose your battles. I choose to fight battles against the devil. I choose to walk in victory with Jesus Christ. I choose to walk with the whole armor of God. I choose to take every weapon that I can use against the enemy with me when I go into battle. I don't sit there and leave my arsenal at home. I bring the whole arsenal plus, praise God, that God will bring victory. You say, well, that's you, pal. You know, I'm going to battle for you is what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've missed that or not, but as a pastor, I'm praying for you and I'm going to battle for you. And I'm praying that God will just put Jesus Christ's blood all over your family and all over your household and surround your household with angels of strength and valor, with fiery chariots and swords to ward off every evil being, whether of spirit or of flesh, and that God will just put them on every exit, on every entrance to your home. And your home will be highly anointed and it'll be a lighthouse in the midst of the neighborhood where you're at. Those are my prayers for you, by the way. If you didn't know, you got it now on tape. That's what I pray for you, that God would bless you, heal you, strengthen you, call you, dignify you, and strengthen the very inner being of your prayer life, and that you would come forth in power. Amen. I want the devil to dial 911 every morning you wake up. Praise God. Because you are God's people and you have the right to pray and the right to fast. The Bible says in Matthew 17:21, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. It's through the lack of practice and knowledge of Christianity that men fail because they have never embraced the power of God's Spirit in the times of a spiritual need. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is reasonable service. Now, I really believe a lot of people read it like this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Not a living sacrifice. They just don't want to be any sacrifice at all. People in ministry today don't want to sacrifice for ministry. Ministry is sacrifice. That's it. It's sacrifice all the time. It's doing what your flesh says, I don't want to do. Sacrifice in emotions and sacrifice in your mind and sacrifice in your flesh. Sacrifice that you want to get things done for the kingdom of God, that for one reason only, that souls will be saved. That people will be discipled and come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Praise God. I tell you, being a Christian doesn't mean you drive around in a Rolls Royce. It means you get the job done any way you possibly can. And that means if you're pulling up with a 1948 Chevy with bald tires and a piston's about to go, and you're blowing smoke out the back muffler, and when you put on the brakes, the pedal went all the way to the floor, and you jumped out of the car and put your rubber heel to the ground to stop it. That's all right. You're sacrificing, but you're getting the job done. Praise God for the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. Praise God. The appearance of fasting. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Looking to gain adoration of works is not the appearance of fasting. It isn't that, you know. It's you're not looking to see, look at me, I'm doing a works thing today. I'm really working this. You know, if you ever had anybody come up to you and say, man, you're really working this, aren't you? And it's not like that. It's being able to fast and just look normal. Praise God. And have that going on in your life. Is this helping anybody today? Look at this, what the appearance looks like. The confidence of prayer. The right attitude of the heart. The humility of the soul. The assured heart has hope in the why of fasting. The compassion for God's hand to move is stirred in the soul. If you look at those points, this is where you want to be at all times. You want this in your life. You want this for your family. You want this for everything going on. That God will move in your household. God will move on your job. God will move in your church. God will move in your relationships. God will definitely move, and we just have to understand that. The when of fasting. There are no rules or regulations of fasting. Too many men have put on rules and regulations to where fasting has become something that is outside what God really wants. Fasting is not to be put in a rule or regulation. This is a personal decision and a condition of the heart before the Lord. There should always be purpose to the when you fast. Why are we fasting? We're fasting that God would bring direction, depth to us, and that God would bring us the mercy that we need, place it in our hearts, that God would embrace us and draw us, and then God would make alive this church so where people would begin to invite their friends to church and invite their families to church and invite their co-workers to church to where they want to come in and be in the house of God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God, that growth will come. And through growth, souls will be saved. And through souls saved, people will be discipled. And through people being discipled, there will be others to hear the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The times of fasting, Moses fasted 40 days twice before the Lord. He had a real purpose, and God responded to him. Elijah fasted 40 days and the Lord responded to him. Jesus fasted 40 days and God responded to him. 40 days signifies a time of completeness before the Lord. When God deals in 40s, he's dealing with something that has gone full circle, a total complete. There's not a lot of people that have gone on 40-day fast because it's pretty strong and it's pretty difficult for your body to go on a 40-day fast. That means without food and just water. Before someone goes on a 40-day fast, you need to make sure you hear from God. It's not a choice that you just wake up one day and say, man, I'm going to do a 40-day fast. You know, no, you need to understand that this is something that has to come from the Lord. 21 days, well, you know, I'm not saying anything light, but 21 days is a walk in the park compared to a 40-day fast. Because once you hit a 21 day in a fast and you start marching down that 40, you'll start to notice some real changes. But miraculous things have happened. I know pastor friends of mine, as a matter of fact, Pastor Bill Stuthridge was one of the men I know that fasted 40 days. And he told me the testimony of his church that it was a woman there that was actually healed of blinded eyes because on his 40th day of his fast, he prayed for her and she was healed. You see, I want you to know about there is things that begin to happen during fasting that don't normally happen on a regular day of prayer. things begin to move and you begin to get this sense of the presence of God in your life more so than ever before. The times of fasting continued here. There are, as mentioned, certain days of of fasting. 40 days, 21 days like Daniel did, 7 days, 3 days, 1 day. These are times that can be used in fasting. Fasting can also be done by just skipping one meal a day. So let's say on this 21-day fast we're going to go on. You decide, you know, Pastor, I really want to do this, but I'm a little nervous. You know, I'm a little concerned. I work very hard. I have a very difficult job, you know, and I just really need to have that food in me and stuff like that. And I'm a little concerned that if I try to do it, I'm probably just going to break down and just break away from the fast. Is there something I can do? Yeah, try this. Skip one meal. Even if it's your breakfast meal. Maybe that's not your main meal. What if your main meal's lunch or dinner or whatever? You may be a night eater, you know, or whatever it is. But however it may be, skip a meal. That's all. Get started. Join in this fast and skip a meal. You know, and if you're diabetic, you know, you need to get that clarity from your doctor because diabetes has different variances to it. You know, when someone says, I'm a diabetic, there's different types of diabetes. You know, and you, if you're not careful, you could set your diabetes off and you could go into a diabetic coma. All sorts of things can happen. And so that's why you need to get something from your doctor to make sure you have a release. If he says no, don't go on a fast. Don't do that. Because the doctor, he knows what he's talking about your physical condition. Amen. If you got a sore toe, you can still fast. Amen. Praise God. You know, so just think about that and see how it would work for you. The legalism of fasting should never be attached to the truth, true heart, that is fasting for a purpose and to have a deeper intimacy with the Lord. You when you get legalistic, even in prayer, you lose that beauty of prayer. You lose the beauty of fasting. Whenever you get legalistic in your faith with God, you lose that with the Lord. Thank God that the church has moved into not being so legalistic in everything. And I mean, legalism is not always a bad thing. People have chosen to dress a certain way and look a certain way, but that's their choice. It wasn't done because of legalism. That's something they surrendered unto the Lord. But you know, it's just how things work in that direction and how it goes. But don't allow legalism to become what forces you to do something. Don't allow legalism to make your prayer life, I got to pray. If I don't pray, God's going to be mad at me and God's not going to like me. That's legalism. God loves you. If he doesn't ever do anything else for you, he gave his son Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God, you know, and you know, just remember that legalism can cause you to not feel the sense of God's anointing in your life and what it is to be walking with him. Fasting has benefits. Will take you into a deeper dimension with the Lord. You'll tap into a deeper spiritual power of the Holy Spirit. Break strongholds of carnal appetites and fleshly desires. Will break your dependence on the flesh. But Jesus answered him saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, I want to say here real quick that carnal appetites can be broken by prayer and fasting. People that, you know, have problems with lust and with sin of the flesh, through prayer and fasting, this can be broken. Amen. You know, by going before God and asking for a healing and to be strong in that. Because whether you know it or not, these sins are resident in the church world across America. But I believe if people would pray and fast, this would be broken because it's a demonic spirit. It is a demonic spirit. It really is. I'm just going to say it how it is. God knows you. God knows you. I'll never forget, I was in a meeting with 5 other ministers and they gave a list of sins. And they got mad at me because I wasn't on the list of sins. They said, you don't go into a hotel room when you're traveling and speaking? and get an adult movie? Your wife's not with you. And I go, of course I don't. Why would I do that? I said, well, you know why. And I said, no, I don't know why. I said, my wife's not there, but I'll tell you, I love her so much that I wouldn't do that. But here's another reason, gentlemen. Jesus is with me. Jesus is there. And they were like, oh, yeah. Fasting is expected. There are two principles that stand out when you study the distinctive of fasting. Your fast must be unto God. When you fast, you are to fast unto the Father, neither to be seen by men nor to draw attention to yourself. We went over this in Matthew 6 and 17 and 18 already. The story of the Pharisee and the publican is a great sermon where the publican and the Pharisee and the publican standing way back and the Pharisee's up there telling them, hey, I pay my tithes. I fast. You know, look at me. Hey! Hey, God, here I am. I'm drawing close. You notice how much I gave last week? Pride gets in the way. It gets in the way. And then that the publican's back there beating against his chest, man, saying, God, I can't even come close. I can't even look up to you. I can't do that at all. You know, I just am so humbled to be able to stand here before you. And I'm paraphrasing this beautiful story there in the Bible found in Luke in 18, 11 through 13, how beautiful it was to serve the Lord. Fasting is expected, and God rewards those who fast, but without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, Hebrews 11, 6. So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, Matthew 6, 18. Expect God to reward you. A greater level of intimacy with the Father. Increased sensitivity to the Holy Ghost. Personal and corporate revival. And that's what I'm hoping for our church this year, is a personal and corporate revival. Amen. You know, that's something that we really need in this church. Increased anointing, financial breakthroughs, physical breakthroughs, deliverance from evil habits and lusts of the flesh, demonic strongholds destroyed. Through fasting, we are positioned to receive from the Lord. You know, when someone comes to me and says, you know, I'm really sick, or I'm going through this, or I can't get this done because my body's in such bad condition. You know, I don't know what people think I'm thinking, but I'm going to tell you what I think when that happens. I get so uptight with the devil. I start yelling at him when you're telling me that in my spirit. I'm saying, you bummer, get away from them. And then I yell up to God, God, come on now. Your word says it. Do it. Heal them. Praise God you can do it. You will do it. You say, you don't do all that in your mind. Oh, yes, I do. I wouldn't have just said it. Yes, I do. I get radical with God. I may look like I'm listening, but inside I'm getting radical with God. I'm yelling at the devil. Praise God. No, you just praise God. I tell you, I just get so, I go to just tell that devil, you know, you better stop bugging them. You have no right over our body. You have no right. And I go into fasting for you the following week. Amen. Fasting and praying for you and seeking God for you and just saying, you know, God, heal, strengthen, calling your name out before heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forevermore. I expect God to heal you. I expect God to bless you. I expect God to save your children. I expect God to do everything that's in His book. He said it. I believe it. That's what matters. Amen. And He said it, and even if I don't believe it, it's still going to happen, praise God, in your life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The power of fasting. When prevailing in prayer for needs that are very urgent or resistant, fasting is often used by the Holy Spirit to give extra power to bring Satan's defeat and Christ's victory in view. God always rewards prayer and fasting with an awesome demonstration of His mighty healing power, and that's the truth. I'm expecting healing during this 21-day fast. I really am. I've seen it over and over again. Never missed it. And God always rewards Prayer and fasting with that awesome demonstration of his mighty healing power. Miracles flow through the hand of God to the person praying and fasting. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? How many would love to get miraculously healed? Amen. Moving God's hand. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Fasting touches God's heart like, I can't explain it in words. Fasting just touches his heart. Set your focus on what you need during a fast and expect to move God's hand. You all know that for years, for many, 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 many years, I've used this sentence that God gave me in prayer. Prayer moves the hand of God. I've signed letters. I've signed blogs. I've signed all sorts of things with people. You know, prayer moves the hand of God. Remember, prayer moves the hand of God. And prayer does, and along with fasting, I mean, God's hand moves swiftly into your life. Fasting strengthens your prayer priority, focuses your prevailing, and enables you to give uninterrupted concentration to prevailing intercession. You know, I think it's funny. I'm always reminded of how much fasting I do because people always tell me we're afraid to invite you to eat because you always say no. Or we say to other people, hey, you guys want something to eat? And we don't look at you and say that because we know what your answer is going to be. Now, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I can't help it. I've got to listen to the voice of God. I've got to believe that fasting is making a difference in your life, in my family's life. And I'm believing God. I'm believing that there was a spirit set against this church years ago. An evilness set against this church years ago to stop this church from really moving forward and growing and becoming a huge influence into this area where so much sin is. Where sin is, grace abounds the much more. And I believe that. And I'm hoping this year and believing in prayer and fasting that we break that spirit's back. Amen. Hallelujah. By the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. The absolute or complete fast is the types of fast. I've talked about that one already. The normal fast is, you know, just taking time away for food for a day or having just juice for a day. The partial fast is the where you skip a meal or you skip, you know, part of your lunch or you give up sweets for the day or whatever it is. And regardless of what fast you choose to do, you can expect God to move his hand for you. If you do the fast with the right attitude of heart and having the humility before God. God wants to reward you. He really does. What I love about America is that we're not on a forced fast. We get to choose our fast. You know, this guy said one day when we were serving in Santa Cruz, he walked up to me and said, would you hurry up? I'm starving. I just smiled at him and turned away and walked away. And I thought to myself this thought. You can't starve in America. You go to Africa, you'll see the people starving. You may be really hungry, but you're far from starving. Amen. We have a blessed nation and we need to get God's eyes looking back upon this nation in such a way that we know that the church is again resounding the depth and the riches and the mercies of God in its neighborhoods and its highways and its byways and in Congress and across the whole Senate floor all the way into the Oval Office where God is speaking to the hearts of our leaders and there is change that is being brought to America in a way that will praise God. Amen? Preparation and being on a fast. Slow down your intake of food. Slow down your intake of uncertain beverages such as coffee or other sources of caffeine. Drink as much water as you can on the first day of your fast. Continue that during your fast. Avoid acidic juices during your fast. Break your fast slowly with the right foods. So if you come off a 21-day fast, don't go and eat a bowl of hot sauce. It doesn't work. Wow. You'll be concerned. You'll know why. If you'll say, well, I'm going to try it. I know I heard somebody that I'm going to try it. If you go and try it, you'll call me. Would you pray for my stomach? Break your fast slowly with the right foods. Always make sure that you fast with purpose. God is calling his people to the fast. These times that we live in are evil. To loose the chains of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. He desires to give us more power and to take us deeper revelation of himself. I want to go there. I love to go deeper with God. How about you? Amen. Deeper presence of God and getting into the Word and going deeper. One of my prayers this time of fasting is going to be, God, take me deeper into your Word. Take me deeper as I read the Word throughout this year every day. What a time to fast. Now is the time for the church to rise up in the power, Jesus said, where nothing will be impossible to us through prayer and fasting. His desires to release his power to work on our behalf, to deliver you out of the hands of your enemies, to reveal his will to you, to provide for all your needs, to strengthen you in times of trouble, to empower you for service, to use to wage war in the heavens and on behalf of your family, city, and nation. Praise God. There's a time right now we're living in, all these things are going on. Families are in trouble. People don't want to serve. People are trying to provide for their own needs when God's the only one that can't provide for those certain needs. Don't try to save anybody. How many realize you can't save anybody? Just love them. Let God save them. They may go to church for 6 months and never get saved, and all of a sudden they say, I got to get saved. That wasn't their revelation. That was God. Just go all of a sudden clicking it. Love them right where they're at. Praise God. Love them right where they're at. Fasting gives us power for warfare. Daniel prayed 21 days and there was warfare in the heavens. To break through demonic resistance, the hosts of heaven join you in fasting through warring the evilness that tries. Stop the purpose of fasting. Nineveh was saved from destruction because of the fast that the king called in response to Jonah's prophetic word. You see, the enemy is going to do his best to stop everything that goes on in your life if you're really walking with God. If you're not walking with God and you're playing Christianity, the devil doesn't give a rip. You're not offending him or affecting his work at all. But when you live for God and you're really praying and you're praying in the Spirit and you're fasting and you're trusting God and your face is in that word, you're living out Psalm chapter 1, verses 3 all the way to the end. You're living that out. And you're not living the first three verses of that Psalm and where, you know, you're walking with, you're standing with, and you're sitting with the sinners. Praise God, you're not going to have any inheritance. You're not going to bear fruit. Your leaf is going to wither. But if you begin to really have the word in your life, and in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, he said to him, he needs to read the word, get the word in him. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed. Meditate day and night on the word. Praise God. And get excited about what God has for us. And God will bless us in every area of our life. And lastly, the church must respond to the call of God to fast. America is in trouble like never before. Families are being attacked by the darkness of hell itself. The church has winked at sin for far too long. Pastors and all spiritual leaders must again pray and fast. Congregations must heed the call of God to fast. Transformation is desperately needed in our homes, cities, and in this nation. Prayer plus fasting plus worship, make that commitment today. Amen. Would you make that commitment today? Would you make a commitment to fast today?